At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into Redacted on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
Hope you had a wonderful Father's Day. I hope you, all the fathers out there, let's celebrate all those fathers. I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. We've got a very busy show for you on this Monday. There's been a lot of news unfolding over the past 24 or 48 hours that we want to get to, including some newly unearthed documents that Vladimir Putin just held up in his hand to show, wow, it was all a lie. It was all a lie. And he's exposing some people in these documents, which we will show you coming up.
Yes, we are going to continue to cover the crisis at the border, what continues to happen along the southern border, what's happening with migrants that we might not be able to see. We have a correspondent who is at the southern border to show us.
That's right. We're also going to be looking at how Canada is now guaranteeing the safety of Ukraine. They are Canada, I don't know if you any Canadians watching right now, your prime minister has decided to make sure that Canada is the guarantor of Ukraine's safety. How does that wash with the Canadian people? Did you vote for that? I don't know if that really is something you guys voted about.
Plus, Dr. Hotez, who we had warned you about on the show a couple months ago, has got himself in the hot seat for challenging RFK's vaccine claims, but not being willing to actually challenge them. He wants to sort of do a drive-by shooting of, like, say some shitty stuff on Twitter, but not back it up.
You suck.
But I won't defend myself in a
debate.
That's
exactly what's happening.
You suck.
Yeah.
Okay. But then I went challenged on it. Yeah.
It's basically a grenade thrown from afar, and he will not come forward. Well, the mainstream media is willing to give him a pass on this. In fact, they're just basically handing him talking points like, say this is why you won't do it.
And he's, millions of people now saying they want him to go on Joe Rogan's show. And it's really.
So Dan Cohen, who warned us about this character months ago, is going to come on and rewarn us about this character and remind us why he told us about him in the first place and go over this controversy. All that and more as Redacted starts right now.
GSAS116 from Savannah, Georgia on Rumble. Thank you for your kind words, she says, or he says. Says, Clay and Natalie, thank you for all the work you do every day to deliver the truth to us straight. I look forward to your podcast daily. Thank you from Savannah, Georgia. Well, thank you, SAS, from down there in Georgia. And thanks to all of you. Chris Kane just became a subscriber. We're almost at 2 million subscribers right here. So 1995, very, very close. We may hit it by the end of the night, maybe by tomorrow. We don't know. But anyway, if you subscribe, your name will pop up here. There's a new rebel.
Dane Wright.
Hey,
thank you so much.
Welcome to the rebellion, Dane. Good to see you.
All right. Well, another thing you can subscribe to for free is our newsletter. You can find it at redacted.inc. It's a daily newsletter for news. It's just geopolitics and things that we talk about here on this show. You'll find original links and sources and summaries of the topics that we cover here, plus more tidbits, bits and bobs. It's written by Clayton and I every morning, and then we proceed to put together this show for you every afternoon. So it is a free subscription. You just need an email, type it in, and then authenticate it in your email, and you'll get it every day.
Yeah, redacted.inc is the place to go. Not .com, redacted.inc. Well,
right.
Vladimir Putin has dropped a bombshell And all it took was him holding up a few documents.
Well, these documents seem to show that Ukraine agreed to a peace deal over a year ago, but never held up their end of the bargain. Now, we've been reporting this for months because of reports that when Boris Johnson went to Ukraine, he was going there to thwart peace talks. That now seems to have borne out. At the time, it was called
that Borist out instead of borne out. It was Borist out.
It was Borist out. At the time, it was called conspiracy theory. No, he was just there to show support for Ukraine. Well, no, what he was there to do was to thwart the peace deal, which now the timeline seems to support. So let's go over it. Russian President Vladimir Putin said that he was showing us a copy of a peace agreement that was signed by Ukraine last year when peace talks were hosted in Turkey. It was called the Treaty on Permanent Neutrality and Security Guarantees of Ukraine. These were talks held in Turkey in March of 2022. What happened to them? Well, Boris Johnson happened to them. Bojo hopped on a plane a few days later, and Ukrainian media reported that he talked Zelensky out of it. U.S. officials would quickly follow suit after this visit. We would see Nancy Pelosi clicking her heels down the streets of Kiev, Antony Blinken, Lloyd Austin, Europe's Ursula von der Leyen showed up not long after that. And then, consequently, what did Ukraine do? They reneged on their side of the bargain, according to President Putin. Here is a translated video of President Putin showing this document to a group of African leaders, and watch the sort of consternation on their faces as they see this.
We did not agree with the Ukrainian side that this deal would be confidential, but we also never disclosed it or commented on it. The draft of this agreement was initialed by a representative of the head of the negotiating group from Kiev. He put his signature there. Here it is.
Wow.
It's called the Treaty on Permanent Neutrality and Guarantees for the Security of Ukraine. It contains 18 articles, and there is also an appendix. Its provisions concern the armed forces and many other things. Everything is written there, down to units of military equipment and personnel of the armed forces. Here is the document. It is initialed. But after we withdrew troops from Kiev as promised, the Kiev authorities, as their patrons usually do, threw it all into the wastebasket of history. Where are the guarantees that they will not continue to abandon such agreements?
It's crazy. And did you see one of the African leaders of this St. Petersburg summit sitting with his mouth open? He was like,
yeah.
What? Wait a minute. They signed a peace agreement?
Right.
And then, of course, you'll know right afterwards, and part of the peace agreement was for Russia to remove its forces from Kiev.
Well, take a look at this next slide, because yes, this was part of the deal. They said that their side was to withdraw from Kiev, but here's NPR telling us that they were withdrawing from Kiev as Moscow focuses more on eastern Ukraine. So, you know, this was from, can you see the date there? I mean, we saw all kinds of talking heads saying they're retreating just weeks into the battle. They're retreating.
See, they're
right?
leaving Kiev. The ghost of Kiev got them. They're leading.
Like they're winning. That's what we were told. Now, I want to go back to this throwing it all into the wastebasket of history bit, because President Putin said Russia withdrew troops from Kiev after this treaty because that was part of their bargain. The treaty outlined neutrality for Ukraine, maximum allowances for military personnel and equipment, and listed Russia, the U.S., Britain, China, and France as guarantors. Now, when one side reneges on their peace agreement and throws it into the wastebasket of history, how many lives then go into that with it?
A lot.
How many, right? Since then, if you think about it, like if you were someone whose family has been lost since March of 2022, and you think it could have been over then, this,
well,
what's
about,
it all for?
Well, think about how many Ukrainians have been killed as a result of this in the meat grinder, right? So Ukrainians are being destroyed in this latest battle overnight. 50% of the troops on the Ukraine side were wiped out, destroyed. One out of every 10, according to Vladimir Putin, one in 10 Russian soldiers, for every one they're losing, for every 10 Ukraine is losing, Russia's losing one. So lives are being lost on both sides, way more dramatically on the Ukrainian side. absolutely devastated. You're wiping out an entire generation of people, an entire generation. And then you've wiped out that generation, and then you've gone to the younger and older generations to fill the ranks, grabbing them out of college classrooms and grabbing young men off the streets who don't even meet the qualification age, and then taking 60-year-olds to be a part of the tree. Like, you're wiping out everyone. Boris Johnson and the West.
And I kind of feel like Putin has been very patient during this, because everything they have done has been a provocation. Everything Ukraine has done to him has been a provocation, and he could have done what the U.S. would have done, which is decimated Ukraine.
Shock like, and awe.
If it was the U.S., the U.S. that was being done to, mm-hmm. Ukraine would be leveled by now.
Yeah, shock and awe campaign, right? Sadly methodical, and it's like going to drag mm-hmm. on and on and on.
Yes, but this is something that Putin has been criticized inside Russia for the last 15 years or more, is to continue to have faith that Ukraine will be a trusted partner. Back as far back as 2014, when he extended the 14 billion euro loan to Ukraine as good faith to sort of support their economy, even though many inside of Russia didn't want him to do that.
Well, he thought
that he had to do it in order to sort of bolster that economy and bolster their independence so that they could continue to be independent and resist NATO lure.
Right. Well, and he also, of course, extended and said he would support the Minsk agreements, right? So, and he admitted this was one of maybe his great mistakes. He said, I believe them. And we now know from Angela Merkel that they never had any intention of supporting the Minsk agreements. So, you know, fool me once, right?
Right. Now, back to this narrative that we were told, because if this is true, and we are being told we had a peace agreement, our agreement was this, withdraw from Kiev, they were going to do that, and they didn't do that, but we did this. What we were told when they held up their part of the bargain was that, oh, look, Russia's retreating. They can't take Kiev. They're not even going to try. Ukraine is too strong. Here is NATO head Jens Stoltenberg said this about that in March of 2022, as soon as Russia was withdrawing, saying, we've heard the recent statements that Russia will scale down military operations around Kiev and in northern Ukraine. But Russia has repeatedly lied about its intentions. So we can only judge Russia on its actions, not its words. According to our intelligence, Russian units are not withdrawing, but repositioning. Russia is trying to regroup, resupply, and reinforce its offensive in the Donbas region. At the same time, Russia maintains pressure on Kiev and other cities, so we can expect additional offensive actions, bringing even more suffering. So was NATO out of the loop on this peace agreement, or did they know, and they were just spinning a yarn to us?
Well, of course, they know everything. They know that they were meeting to discuss peace. And Zelensky was fielding phone calls. He's like, I can't talk right now. I'm at the peace table right now. I can't talk. No, Vladimir, you please take our phone calls. So he was sitting at the peace table in Turkey.
Right.
They knew where he was. They knew exactly what
was
going on.
Not where he was. What I'm saying is, NATO didn't know why Moscow was withdrawing from Kiev. They didn't know.
I mean,
that's weird.
It's ridiculous.
Right?
They know every detail of the peace agreement. And so, yeah, they're pretending that they don't know about this.
Right. Or is it what it appears to be, that Russia had negotiated this deal, the West got wind of it and talked Ukraine out of it and spun the rest of us a lie? I read this quote this weekend in a biography of Julian Assange. It said, if wars can be started by lies, peace can be started by truth. We've been lied to about this war in Ukraine. That seems to be self-evident. Now Ukrainian President Zelensky says that no peace agreement is even on the table because Ukraine wants to retake Crimea, which voted to join Russia in 2014, and the Donbas region, which asked Russia to intervene on their behalf last year and voted last year to join Russia. So again, I just want to turn back to the map of the conflict. This was updated today, showing Ukraine's counteroffensive has not been able to retake much of these regions. Now, again, from the gray line, the dark gray line, and over to the right is the contested area. Those areas asked Russia to intervene because Ukraine has been bombing them for over a decade. Russia came in with military forces in March of 2022. They are controlling everything that's in the red. They don't yet control what's in the green, but those are the regions that want to join Russia. Now, look at the blue dots here. Because Ukraine has not really been able to make much territory gain on this counteroffensive. They're attacking outside of this contested region. See the blue dots above in the top right?
Right, the Belgorod.
Those are not contested territories. They are Ukraine on the bottom, Russia on the top. Why are they attacking inside of Russia? This sort of negates the whole use of the term counteroffensive, right? They're not countering anything. Russia was never there inside of Ukraine. This was always uncontested Russian land. You can't use counteroffensive for this.
That's a great point.
For this kind of battle, if you're attacking up there.
Right. Of course, they could justify that they're cutting off the pincer that's coming from the top down, of course, right? They can use that argument. And as Patrick Lancaster has been reporting here for us on Redacted, he's been in Belgorod. He's been in that area, that uncontested area in the north. So those blue dots at the top, that's where Patrick has been. No other Western media, of course, has been there covering that. And you can see where the Ukrainian forces and NATO forces using NATO weapons have gone into that region.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons I'm so committed to just continuing to follow this map. Because I think in the West, we just sort of are told, oh, there's a fight. It's all over Ukraine. It's not. It's for one region. And this one region has voted to become a part of Russia. And Ukraine is just throwing lives at it in order to keep this part of Ukraine, which they've been torturing for a decade. So who now wants to support this when we have a better sense of what it is? Now, Russia's confirming that they continue to be shelled inside their own borders. Today, the Russian Belgorod region was shelled by the Ukrainian army with over 500 shells, according to the mayor of one town. Ukraine now says that they have retaken 8 towns in that contested region in the last 2 weeks. But how many lives has this cost? Russia says that Ukraine has lost at least 800 servicemen, 20 tanks, 4 infantry fighting vehicles, and 15 armored vehicles over the weekend alone. Now, once again, Ukraine is trying to take territory that asked Russia to come in and intervene, this Donbas region. And the Western media knew this at one point. Take a look at this Time magazine article from 2014. Many Ukrainians want Russia to invade. This is a Time article, that one. Yes.
Many Ukrainians want Russia to invade.
This is from 2014. You know, the Western media is pretending not to know this now.
Wait, let me read the first nut of this Simon Schuster article here. To many in Ukraine, a full-scale Russian military invasion would feel like a liberation, according to Time magazine. On Saturday, across the country's eastern and southern provinces, hundreds of thousands of people gathered to welcome the Kremlin's talk of protecting pro-Russian Ukrainians against the revolution that brought a new government to power last week. And we should point out, of course, that new government that was brought to power was a Western puppet government, a NATO Western puppet government.
Yes.
Don't forget that.
Yes. So again, the Western media is pretending not to remember this because of what Noam Chomsky calls manufactured consent, because they need to ignore truths because they're tied to a government agenda, in this case, a war agenda. And, you know, I think it's just interesting how we continue to sort of be dumped on this anti-Russian propaganda in order to want to look away from the truth. And that comes in all forms, like Russophobia around athletes, around Russian products, around Russian anything, dressing, whatever. And this morning, you know, I'm always on the lookout for it. Like, what am I being manipulated to not like or to turn against in order to be more willing to swallow some BS, some like neocon pro-war BS, right? And so I came across this article today in the Telegraph saying that Kremlin officials turned to heavy drinking to cope with war stress. And I highlighted at the bottom, and I know that's hard to see on your screen, and I apologize, but like this, oh, look at Vladimir Putin. He must be drunk to be doing everything that he's doing because he's a madman. But then the subtitle of the picture says, Vladimir Putin, pictured in 2016, is known not to be a heavy drinker.
Like in some, okay. So the headline is Kremlin officials are getting drunk because they're so stressed.
And they can't deal with this. But so then they
you have to read the fine print. Putin doesn't drink. So it just totally negates. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's just like the Nord Stream pipeline picture where it's like him in that bubble that looked like a scene from Despicable Me. Like, here he goes.
Like, he's going to under the ocean
pipeline. But yeah. Again, we have to wonder, what are we fed to hate in order to want to swallow their narrative? That's the question I leave you with.
Well, yeah. And as someone in the chat just said, why don't we see this on CNN? Why don't we see this on Fox? It's a great question, because the mainstream media won't cover this, right? It is manufactured consent.
Yeah.
Those organizations, CNN, Fox, and all the big mainstream media benefit tremendously from the war. And of course, their backers are billionaires who are making billions of dollars off of this war. So they do not want the war to go away. They absolutely don't want peace. This is why you won't see it on CNN. You won't see it on Fox. You won't see it on MSNBC at all.
I was reading an article from 2014 by Gilbert Doctorow, and he was making the case that being pro-Putin is actually more of a patriot, a U.S. patriot, than anyone else who's telling you this Putin is a madman line, because he thinks had the U.S. cooperated with Russia, he would have been the biggest ally in national security for the U.S. had we not decided to use him as
He asked to be a member of NATO.
Yes.
People forget, like, Russia solicited to become part of NATO.
We didn't have to have these wars. They're serving someone, but not anyone who's on this program right now, I would wager.
And we give you this information. You can take it how you want. He's holding up a document. You can may argue that the document's fake. Maybe the peace agreement was totally fake. He's sitting there in front of 20 African leaders and he's holding up a fake document, perhaps.
But the timeline bears out. That's why, because he did leave. Because they did withdraw from Kiev at the time.
Right.
Because Western leaders did show up days later, because the conflict was extended. And then a few months later, Vladimir Zelensky then puts into Ukrainian law that's forbidding to go to peace talks with right. Russia.
Right. So the timeline bears it out. So if you believe the opposite of that, that this is a fake document, that they blew up their own Nord Stream pipeline, and that Putin goes undersea in little submarines and blows up pipelines, like, that's probably part of the same narrative.
While drunk.
He's since, drunk submarine
since 2016,
driving.
He's been drunk.
He's been known to be a drunk submariner. I get my vodka and I go under the ocean. I blow up pipelines. Yeah. It's amazing. By the way, just as a side note, did you see the new strategy around Ukraine, which is now they fully blamed Ukraine for the Nord Stream pipeline bombing. I mean, we know it was the United States and the CIA. That's been confirmed, right? But the Washington D.C. narrative now is that it was Ukraine. Oh, and it was a Ukrainian general who's since been killed. So now we're blaming the dead guy. Like, oh, he's not allowed to defend himself anymore. It was definitely him. He's the one that carried out the bombing. We warned them not to do it. We told them not to do it. But, they just went and did it anyway. No, that's a total lie.
Yeah,
generals being
notorious for not asking anybody about major combat operations. Like, they're always this rogue. Like, are they saying that Ukraine has rogue generals? Because that didn't work well for Japan in the World War II, having rogue generals. So
yeah,
I want to get that under control.
And thank God he's dead, because he was definitely a bad apple. So this is the spin now that we're giving. It's like it was a rogue general who didn't. I mean, this is
amazing. But how did he get access to naval equipment?
Apparently it was a yacht. He had his eyes on a yacht that he was going to retrofit. That's the story, that there was a massive yacht that they were going to use. I think from a seized Russian oligarch.
Was it Gru from Despicable Me?
Right. let's ask
Russell Brand. Also, he could steal the moon.
Also, he was a shipwright, so he just happened to be a general and a shipwright. So we retrofitted this yacht for military operations. Like, this guy was amazing.
He knew how to do it all. It's amazing. And what's sad is this is the stuff that the Washington Post will print in newspapers, or CNN will put on their air, and then stupid people will gobble it up, and that's how it works. But you guys aren't stupid. So thank you guys for seeking the truth along with us. We don't have all the answers, but we present to you the facts as they emerge, and where the mainstream media hides them from you and redacts them from you. So thank you guys for subscribing to the channel. Yes, we are about to hit 2 million. I see people asking here. You guys have a 1.9 million rebels, part of the rebellion. Welcome to the rebellion. If you are, thank you guys so much for being a part of the rebellion. We've got a lot more news to get to here on your Monday. We're going to be joined by Michael Yan at the border, because you won't believe the numbers at the border are getting worse, but we're not hearing much about it. Again, another story the mainstream media is ignoring and not covering. And it is really getting bad as far as the children trafficking piece of this too, just getting out of hand. So Michael's going to join us with that story.
All right, but first we want to tell you about our friends at Fast Growing Trees, because you can breathe some life into your own backyard with fastgrowingtrees.com this spring or this summer. Tomorrow is the solstice, so you can still plant in the summer, depending on where you are in the country. They will help you choose which trees are best for your neighborhood. From shade to fresh fruit to privacy and natural beauty, let fastgrowingtrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. They curate thousands of easy-to-grow plant, shrub, and tree varieties for your unique climate, Meyer lemons to evergreens and everything in between. Happy plants, happy home, right? No more waiting in long lines, hauling heavy plants around. With fastgrowingtrees.com, you order online and your plants arrive at your door in just a few days. We actually used a service like this because when we lived in New Jersey, I don't know if you've, any of you have ever lived in that area, but a lot of times trees in that neighborhood grow too big and then they have to be remediated because they will fall on your house, which happened to us in Hurricane Irene. So they will help you choose a good replacement so you're not just removing trees for no reason. I love Fast Growing Trees for that reason because, again, we're looking for a great price and the right fit for that space. So join over 1.5 million happy Fast Growing Trees customers. Go right now to fastgrowingtrees.com/redacted to get 15% off your entire order. Again, that's 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com/redacted.
Well, the weaponized invasion of the United States southern border continues. Former Green Beret war correspondent Michael Yon has been covering what's been happening not only from Panama as it comes all the way up into the United States, but right now at the southern border in Texas. And what happens to all of these illegal immigrants once they arrive in the United States? Where are they going? Well, Michael took to the air yesterday and got a glimpse of exactly where many of these illegal immigrants are going. They're going into like suburban colonies, basically, popped up brand new suburbs that are being built. Michael Yon joins us now. Michael, great to see you.
Thanks, Clayton. It's good to be back in Texas for a while and then soon back in your neck of the woods and Asia and whatnot. Yesterday, Todd Bensman and I, the author Todd Bensman, we just spent 2 days out in one of the colonias. It's north of Houston near a place called Plum Grove. It's massive. It's said to be 20,000 acres to begin with. And then a very interesting public official told us a couple of days ago that the owner just bought another 35,000 acres, right? So that's 20,000 plus another 35,000 acres, if the report from the very high public official is accurate. So the and what we can see is, for instance, if you look at Google Earth at this area near Plum Grove, Google Earth, obviously the satellite passes, they don't happen daily, so it's not up to date. So we went over there, we drove around inside the colony. It's massive. We just couldn't get a good view of it from the ground, so we went and we chartered an airplane and we flew over it. Unfortunately, we could only get to 1,800 feet because of the cloud cover. And even from 1,800 feet, we just couldn't take it all in. So I'm going to need to go back with a helicopter. But the bottom line is, it's many, many square miles. The original 20,000 acres, if that number is accurate as reported, that's 31 square miles right there. And he just added another 35,000, apparently. Now, locals, for instance, in Plum Grove have been complaining that when you look at this from the sky, there's a lot of wetlands around there and it's being just destroyed. I mean, you can see the photos that I put up on Twitter actually yesterday. And it's just, now this is just one aspect, by the way, Clayton. These colonias, colonia in Spanish is just a colony, right? And there's, these things are all over Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and all over, and they're growing around the United States. But the, where are these aliens going to? They're not just going to massive colonias. They're also going to, for instance, the Crown Plaza Hotel in San Diego. Antonio Aguera and I were just over there recently. The whole hotel was taken over. That's just one of many hotels. Apartment buildings are being built or bought. And also different ecosystems of aliens go into different sort of, let's say, ecosystems when they get into the United States. A lot of these people say from Venezuela, Guatemala, Mexico, Honduras, they will go into these colonias. The Chinese, though, they tend to go into their own ecosystems. They kind of dissolve into places like Flushing, New York, right? And so they're not necessarily dissolved, but they go right into ecosystems that are already existing, social structures. They get jobs. Some are working on farms. Some are just arrested on another marijuana farm. Actually, numerous marijuana farms. So some of the Chinese come to work on farms. Others come in to do. Some look like military people. I've reported on this extensively with photos and videos. And then you've got other ecosystems. For instance, Indians will often go into their own. For instance, the Sikhs that I speak with often will go into their own networks and that sort of thing. Yeah, it's very interesting. By the way, go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. By the way, what were you going to say?
Oh, Todd Benchman and I, 2 days ago, we were at one of these colonias near the one we just photographed. And about a month ago, an illegal alien Mexican who had been deported numerous times was out shooting his rifle at nighttime. People complained. So he went next door and he shot five people, killed them, including a child. And so Todd Benchman and I were just at the two homes, the home of the neighbor who came with the rifle and shot the five neighbors. Women and children, the bullet holes are still on the door. We were given the address by law enforcement, and a law officer said there's bullet holes still in the door, which they are. That's on my Twitter, the video of going to this home. So he was an illegal alien who killed illegal aliens. This is the sort of issue that we're bringing to the United States in a big, big way. You can find this in the news, you know, some of what happened. But as soon as Todd Benchman, who I just spent 2 days with, he's an author, he's a retired DPS, Department of Public Security Intelligence man for the state of Texas. You know, we run around together a lot in Mexico and that sort of thing. So, you know, as soon as Todd reported about a month or so ago that the killer was an illegal alien Mexican, it just died off. The news, you know, like a water faucet.
Oh,
you know,
of course, yeah. Goes. They don't want to hear that. Yeah, anytime that's the case, the news will stop covering that story right away. I got to ask you, when you look at these colonies or colonias, am I saying that right? Colonia. Colonia. Mm-hmm. Colonia.
Colonia.
So these look, I mean, they're, well, I have so many questions. Who's funding them? We know that the Department of Homeland Security, according to new numbers just released this week, they are rolling out an additional, was it $239 million in additional funding to communities for housing and services for illegal immigrants. So the Department of Homeland Security sending out tens of millions of dollars into communities if they basically harbor these illegal aliens. Do we know in these colonies who's funding them? And it looks like trailers, really, right? So almost like FEMA trailer style structures here. Is that not what they are?
They are. Interestingly, Todd and I, we drove around many miles inside the colonia a couple days ago, and then we jumped in the airplane and got above it. But yeah, it's interesting because you'll see some nice homes, and then surrounded by them is just like junkyard homes. You know, dogs running all over the place, that sort of thing. You know, broken down cars. You should see this stuff. We made a lot of video from the ground and from the air. It's dangerous down there on the ground. Actually, Todd knocked on a door a month or so ago and asking about what's going on. And a woman called her husband, apparently husband, and he got on the phone with Todd Benchman and told him he's going to kill him. The man told Todd Benchman he was going to kill him if he was there when he showed up, and he's racing on the way home, that sort of thing. I mean, this is the sort of people we're dealing with. It's quite dangerous down there. Yeah, and clearly a huge amount of trailers are being – we saw, for instance, an old trailer actually being hauled into the colonia yesterday.
And these are popping up all over the place. So this entire like new subdivisions are being built to house illegal immigrants. Texas government. I mean, where's the Texas government on this? Is this at the federal, or is it, I mean, clearly the state level? It doesn't seem to be. Is Governor Abbott putting his foot down about this? I haven't heard anything from him on this.
You know, Governor, air quote, Greg Abbott is a member of the World Economic Forum. crystal clear. He's on their website. And, you know, I just spoke, Todd and I spoke to a private group of people recently, and we talked about this. Some of the people in that small group were more than just supporters of Greg Abbott. They're very close to him, and they were somewhat defensive of him, but the evidence is crystal clear, right? There's no way around it. I mean, some of the people we were briefing are on speed dial to Greg Abbott, and I'm sitting here saying Greg Abbott is a traitor to them, to his close advisors, right? Wow. I mean, it's crystal clear. Like, I'm down on the border looking at Greg Abbott on my phone, giving a live talk about how he's closing the border. This was last year. I was on the Mexican side at Piedras Negras. My feet were practically in the Rio Grande. I was watching aliens cross the Rio Grande right in front of me, and Greg Abbott's talking about how the Texas National Guard's closing the Rio Grande. The Texas National Guard were on the other side of the river in shouting distance from me, helping them up the riverbank. I'm like, hey, your governor is on the phone right now doing a live thing. You should be pushing these people back to me, not helping them up the riverbank. It's just kayfabe. It's all for show. You saw recently on May 12th with the Title 42 dropping, I flew up from the Darien Gap just for that. And Abbott was down there saying how they're closing it, you know, they're unfurling the concertina wire on the border. It's not doing anything. They're still coming across in the numbers like they always were. Now, they say that the illegal crossings are reduced. The reason the illegal crossings are reduced is because there's an app on your phone now where you can just apply to cross into the United States called the CBP1 app. And so they're just applying down in Mexico, and then you can walk in and you're elite. It's still at least 10,000 per day. Let me say that again, 10,000 per day is a defensible number. And that number is clearly increasing. That's a conservative number that we can fight our corner with. I mean, I've been on the US border all the way from SpaceX at Boca Chica, that's on the Gulf side, all the way to San Diego. I've been all down this border, much of it on the Mexican side and the US side. This border is wide open. We don't have an effective border. It's just open. And not only that, many people are flying in now from Colombia. They're flying in from Guatemala. They're flying, Clayton, I believe it's just a matter of time until they start coming in on cruise ships or that sort of thing and just sailing right up the Mississippi, because it's right in our face. Americans aren't doing anything about it except complaining. And the colonias are just, you know, this is clearly a replacement strategy. This is not conspiracy theory. World Economic Forum says it with their mouths. They say it on their website. It's crystal clear. There's nothing conspiratorial about it, except that they're doing it. This is the World Economic Forum. Obviously, nobody there is elected except for the ones that they harness, like Trudeau, Biden, of course, Abbott, Mark Rutte in Netherlands. You can see Klaus Schwab going, where do you find such a prime minister as Mark Rutte? Right, they've spent years. The World Economic Forum has spent years developing these. Yep, cultivating. That's right, grooming would be a proper word.
These junior leaders that become the future leaders of the World Economic Forum. And we just spoke to Tim Ballard, former CIA, who's devoted his life to ending child trafficking. And he says the U.S. southern border is wide open, and it is absolutely the number one source for illegal immigrants coming across the border and human trafficking arguably in the world, seeing this. And he was making the case that walls save lives, and where these walls are wide open, you get all sorts of human trafficking, sex trafficking, and the people just pouring across the border, 10,000 a day. And the media is not even covering this. And you say it's about to get much, much worse.
I noticed the left is attacking Tim Ballard. So that's a feather in his cap, right? I don't know Tim. I've never spoken with him. But I noticed numerous people sent links in the last few days of people attacking him. And it's, you know how it goes. Anyway, the border does not exist. You look at the George Bush wall, for instance, on the New Mexico side near the Texas border. And it's just like that literally would not keep a dog out. We literally have on drone footage just in the last, a month, maybe 5 weeks ago. I was down there. It was very actually serious. I mean, one of the cartel members on the other side of our wall had a rifle. It looked like an M16. And I'm very familiar with M16s. I was a special forces weapons man. So I'm not just throwing these terminologies around. Maybe it was an AR-15. I don't know. Anyway, it was one of those sorts of rifles. He was right next to the wall, pushing the wall open, allowing people to go through, right? And right in broad daylight, Border Patrol right there, just rushing through broad daylight. And so this is happening night and day. On the Arizona side, where RFK recently visited, I spent 3 days and nights there. As the sun went down, I was there until the sun came up for three solid nights. Chinese coming across constantly, people from all over the world. At one point, I was out with Anthony Rubin from Muckraker, and somebody from the other side started shining a laser at us. We don't know if it had a rifle on it or not, but a deputy happened to come up, and he pulled out his rifle and started pointing it back, back to the Mexicans. These are the sorts of things you see daily. I would say 2 out of 3 days that I'm on the border, and I'm not on the, at the crossings, at the international crossings at the bridge often. I'm usually out in the remote areas. I would say about 2 out of 3 days that I'm out there, we have a run-in with cartels. And, it can get dicey. This is very serious. Yeah. Border Patrol have been killed, and they throw stones at us. We almost got hit with a big rock recently. It's an almost daily occurrence.
Yeah, and we featured some of the shootings and the shootouts, of course, leaving bodies riddled all over the bridges as a result of these cartel shootouts. Unbelievable. Michael Yon, thank you for this work. Thank you for bringing this story on these colonias to us and these colonies. I knew nothing about this, and I hope that our audience found this educational as well, and hopefully we spread the word about what's actually happening down there. Michael, thank you for your great work.
Thank you, Clayton. Thanks for having me on short notice. This is very important, as you well know.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks, Michael. And one of the few people actually there, boots on the ground, who's actually covering this story. He's going to be doing a full border investigation here in the next couple of weeks. We're going to follow Michael through the whole thing. He's really one of the only ones down there. And of course, with that connection to the Panama and all the way up through covering this story. So yeah. Thank you for spreading the truth. I know the truth can be uncomfortable, but this is exactly what's happening. And the mainstream media is ignoring the story once again.
Yes.
Maybe they need to send Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez back down there. She can fake cry at the fence and get some more coverage.
Biden drove through.
He stopped in a parking lot.
Saw some cleaned up areas.
Yeah, he stopped in a parking lot.
That was helpful.
It's really helpful. We've got more news to get to.
He was at that border wall. Sorry, I was just going to say he was at that border wall that was pristine. Nobody there except like the handling border crossing or the border patrol. They're just like, they're just there to mind him. That was it.
Yeah, it was like they were in a parking lot, a closed off parking lot with a few customs and border protection agents.
And they had cleaned up those streets in advance. We showed those videos.
We got more news to get to here on your Monday. We're going to look at the madness in Canada. Man, Canada's breaking all kinds of rules and records right now. They're now the number one country for suicides or assisted deaths in Canada. Congratulations, under the Trudeau regime there. They're also the number one for organ
donations through MAID. Is that what we're calling them?
I guess we call it organ. You can call it organ harvesting. Is another way to put it.
Yeah, Canada performing more organ transplants from MAID donors than any other country in the world. So, if you're depressed, if you're in pain, if you're even a child, you are put right into this system for assisted suicide. Can we have those organs that you're about to leave behind?
So David Creighton is going to be joining us from Canada in just a few minutes here to talk about the craziness of the Trudeau regime and what this security that they're offering Ukraine means for Canadians. Did you sign up for that? That you are now the guarantor of Ukraine's safety. A NATO country is going to guarantee Ukraine's safety. Canada signed that pledge. So what does that mean?
And I'm thrilled to have someone else to take on Canada because Clayton and I have a joke that when we go over stories, I'm like, I just wait for you to come in and say Trudeau. And that's my segment
for the
day.
Look what he's done today.
He's a low hanging fruit for dictatorship and a slow drip of loss of freedom. So
not even a slow drip. It's been a fast drip of loss of freedom in Canada. It's unbelievable. All right.
Yeah.
So we've got that and so much more. But first, attention, are you an investor looking for an easier way to trade stocks? And would you like 17 free stocks right now? With Moomoo, our favorite trading platform, there's no steep learning curve. And guess right, guess what? It has a simple interface, easy to use. And right now they are giving away 17 free stocks. Now you get 15 regular stocks. They're also giving away a Tesla or a Google stock right now. Do you see Tesla stock? Boom, all these big tech companies are surging lately. Nvidia, Tesla. Anyway, you can either get a Google or a Tesla stock, and they're giving away an AI stock. This is, this is a big deal. So that stock also surging. So you get 17, 15 regular and a Google or Tesla and an AI stock that also is skyrocketing. Again, just for opening your account and making your initial deposits. Even if you don't do anything else with the account and you just let those stocks sit and grow, that's, you know, that's free money, right? That's 17 free stocks that you didn't have to do anything and just make your initial opening deposits, like putting money in a bank and holding it there, not doing anything with it. Or you might like to buy some stocks like I do, buy some commodity stocks, trade some different oil, natural gas stocks, do whatever you want to do. And they also have a great learning platform. They have a full university that's built into the app. So if you're new, you can actually go into all of the videos and learn how to actually invest and put a little portfolio together that can actually grow. And it runs out on June 30th. They're going to end this promotion on June 30th. So check them out. And here's the link. You need to use this link to get these 17 stocks. Go to redacted.inc/Moomoo. That's redacted.inc/Moomoo. Once more, redacted.inc/Moomoo. Well, to the people of Canada, you might not know this, but you are now the guarantor of the safety of the people of Ukraine. That's right, the Justin Trudeau government, once again, telling you what you are responsible for and stripping you of your willingness to participate in that discussion. Did you even know that you are now responsible for the safety of the people of Ukraine? That's right, that's from the Trudeau administration. As someone who follows the crazy Trudeau administration and has spent a lot of years analyzing Justin Trudeau before he ever became prime minister, is David Craden. He writes at the Postmillennial and Human Events, also has a YouTube channel, Craden's Writes. And David joins us for the first time here on Redacted. I think, David, we've covered a lot of your articles and your reporting over the years here on the show. So welcome into Redacted. Great to see you.
Well, it's so nice to join you today, Clayton.
So tell me what, first of all, let's just focus on that story, which is, of course, around the idea of Justin Trudeau telling Volodymyr Zelensky in this big meeting that they just had that the Canadians will protect you, the safety of Ukraine. Can you walk me through what he said?
Well, the problem is with what he said and hasn't been reported, and the Prime Minister's office is not revealing any more details. And unfortunately, the opposition yesterday completely ignored this. And it's been reported maybe once or twice in the mainstream media. But Justin Trudeau has made Canada a guarantor. And this is, once again, people are scratching their heads and saying, what does this mean? What is a guarantor of Ukraine's safety specifically during the Russia-Ukraine war? Sounds very dangerous to me. I don't know how Canada can guarantee Ukraine's safety during this war. It's already given Ukraine $8.5 billion in aid, a lot of that military. It's loaned them our Leopard tanks, which, of course, is a bit like loaning the Brits and the Russians Sherman tanks in the Second World War. I don't think we're going to get them back. So we have given them all kinds of military equipment. And it's, what does it mean? Trudeau has not explained what it means. To me, we're incrementally marching towards a nuclear war with Russia, because Canada cannot guarantee Ukraine's sovereignty. But as a member of NATO, Canada is essentially dragging in the whole alliance into this guarantee.
Right.
So is NATO now a guarantor of Ukraine's safety and security? This is the question I think that needs to be answered quickly, because I believe we are on a pathway to war with Russia. We have been for the last 8 months at least. NATO is provocative, but for Trudeau to issue this declaration is, to me, more than provocative. It's insane.
Well, we just heard from NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg at the White House late last week, meeting with President Biden and specifically talking about raising the level of GDP devoted to the war and war spending and defense spending, making sure that all NATO members are elevating their amount of spending to guarantee the success of Ukraine, make sure that Ukraine doesn't become an outpost for Russia. So what exactly does that mean? I mean, you know, as a NATO country, you're not involved in the war. You get to pretend like you're not involved in the war, but you're actively involved in the war. You're funding it. You're providing boots on the ground through special forces and training and weapons. How are you not involved in the war?
Well, Canada is certainly involved in the war. It's financing the war, for God's sake. And we should be looking to a way to end the war, because it's in everybody's interest to end this war, especially Ukraine, because there are hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians being thrown into the meat grinder of the front line. We're not seeing any of this on television or on the internet. Thank God you've got a correspondent in Russia who's actually showing us what war correspondents used to do. I know you guys were talking about this the other night, but we don't see any clips from the actual war. We listen to Zelensky say massive counteroffensive on the way. And to me, it's reminiscent of the propaganda and the BS that came from the First World War, when there was constantly big push at the front, big push at the front. Hundreds of thousands of people dying, not being reported. The carnage of that war is not being reported, and neither is the carnage of this war. This war needs to end, and Trudeau has got to stop giving billions of dollars. I think per capita, Canada has given more to Ukraine than the United States has. And there's an obsession on behalf of Trudeau with this war because it's a very convenient distraction for him. Every time he wants people to think about anything but domestic policies, rising inflation, rising interest rates, he goes overseas, usually makes a fool of himself. Think about India. Think about London, the funeral for the Queen. Think about Georgia, every other time.
Georgia Maloney and Poland. I mean, the list is fairly endless at this point. When you mentioned the opposition hasn't been outspoken against Trudeau on this issue, are they complicit? I mean, to me, whenever there's silence, there's complicity. So if the opposition in Canada is not speaking out about this, are they complicit in this? The idea.
Oh, the opposition's completely complicit, much as most of the Republicans are in the United States. I mean, we've got Republican senators who are the biggest backers, the biggest warmongers. Just as in Canada, they are afraid. The conservative opposition is afraid to condemn the continued financing of this war and the continued support to keep this war going. Not a single question yesterday in the question period, which I attended, about Trudeau not only giving another billion, or $500 million to Ukraine, but making Canada guarantor. Does this not bother Canadians? Does this not bother the opposition that we have put ourselves in this position? I don't know how we can possibly fulfill that role short of declaring war on Russia. But that's how insane Trudeau's thinking is right now.
Is this an executive order or some sort of, he can do this by fiat? He doesn't need the rest of the government to involve themselves in making Canada the guarantor of Ukraine. He can just do this willy-nilly. And I guess we fully don't know what it means yet. It almost sounds like having like a godfather role. Like if the parents pass away, Canada steps in as the parent of Ukraine in a way.
Well, that's a good analogy because we don't specifically have executive orders in our Canadian parliamentary system. But the prime minister has immense unilateral powers, just as the president in the United States can make executive orders in this way. That's exactly what Trudeau has done. He has issued a declaration from the prime minister's office without consulting even his cabinet or his caucus, let alone the House of Commons. So Parliament has had no say in this, has not even looked at the declaration in writ large, has no idea what the specifics are. And unfortunately, the official opposition is not following through on the role it should be playing in this. And the usual mainstream media in Canada is not even reporting this. I've seen two reports on this, in addition to my own, which I did for Post Millennial, And I wrote a column about this for Substack, but nobody else is even talking about this issue.
Well, that's why we're thrilled to have you here on the show, and hopefully you'll come back and keep a watchful eye on the craziness that is Canada at this moment and what this Trudeau regime is doing to the people of Canada. It's really amazing. You and I were talking, offline a little bit about this, but it's just amazing to watch the quick deterioration, and it's happening in real time in Canada. It really is disturbing to see it unfolding so quickly.
Well, on the domestic front, Trudeau recently made the outlandish, outrageous statement that parents should have no say in whether children under 16 decide to transition to another gender. That has nothing to do with parents. And he described that as a far right policy, that parents should have some say, some inclination, some knowledge of this going on. These are huge consequential decisions. And Trudeau's saying the state now owns your kids, not the parents. This to me is another descent into political madness that we're seeing from a prime minister who is increasingly authoritarian and completely disregards all Canada's democratic traditions going back to the Magna Carta. 800 years ago. He's ignoring so much of what made Canada a strong democratic country. And I think you're seeing the same thing in the United States, but I think Trudeau is just taking it much faster.
It's really disturbing. It's the transhumanism of the World Economic Forum, and he's, of course, one of their exemplary junior leaders, as Klaus Schwab repeatedly reminds us of that.
Yes.
David, great to see you. Thank you for your reporting on this, and we hope you'll come back real soon. Thank you so much for this.
I would love to come back anytime you offer.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Thanks, David. And it's great to have a truth it's great to have a truth teller up in Canada join us here. Thank you, David. Great to have you here on the show.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing. We've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about this Peter Hotez RFK Jr. battle and whether, let us know in the chat, do you think that Hotez will actually show up in this debate? So we'll give you kind of the teaser here, which is that RFK Jr. wants to debate Dr. Peter Hotez, who has been, of course, pushing vaccines, was involved in gain of function research, all of it, tried to cover it all up. Come together for a debate on the Joe Rogan podcast. Do you think Hotez will do it? We'll have that debate. Let us know in the chat below. We'll get there in a second. But first, it's no secret. If you're tuned in, experts are predicting a recession heading our way right now. The numbers are out today on the commercial real estate market. Holy smokes. A few weeks ago, Janet Yellen warned about the commercial real estate market. She even said it in a committee hearing. And now you're having Elon Musk saying the same thing. Here's the thing. They don't agree on anything, right? The fact that both of them are talking about this, as Anthony Pompliano points out, this is trouble. This is really, really trouble. And so we are headed for a commercial real estate disaster. What does that mean for the United States dollar? Who knows? The United States dollar is already in the tank. We have in the newsletter today, we just passed the $32 trillion in debt.
Yes.
The United States is now $32 trillion in debt.
The Treasury released that data over the weekend.
Can you believe that? $32 trillion. How do you get out of that? The answer is you don't. The U.S. dollar is on a massive decline. Our friends at Lear Capital, though, can help you turn some of those U.S. dollars that are on decline into gold and silver. And they actually can help you get set up with a self-directed IRA in order to hold those funds so that will grow tax-free in your account. That's how this works. And right now, they're also giving away $15,000 in bonus medals when you open a qualified account with them. So all you need to do, just get on the phone with them and they'll give you a free gold kit. So just find out if it's right for you. Maybe you've got a few thousand dollars sitting in U.S. dollars in a bank. Maybe it's time to convert it over to gold and silver like Natalie and I have done, because it really has sustained for 4,000 and 5,000 years. Gold and silver have sustained as a form of, have retained their value for that long, as every government currency in world history has collapsed. So go to LearRedacted.com. That's the website, or call their 800 number, 1-800-613-3557. Again, or go to LearRedacted.com or call their 800 number, 1-800-613-3557 today to get your free precious metals investor guide.
Well, the internet is practically begging for a debate around vaccines between Dr. Peter Hotez, challenging Democratic presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., about vaccines in a sort of civilized debate. Now, this came after RFK Jr. appeared on the Joe Rogan podcast, and Dr. Hotez decided to tweet something antagonistic about it. And now users are chiming in saying, well, how about you just sit down and show us where we got it wrong? Now, this is one of JFK Jr.'s big lines, is when he's challenged on his vaccine research, he says, show me where I got it wrong. Most of the time, people do not take the opportunity to do that. So we have Dan Cohen with us because he is a redacted correspondent and because he has been warning us about this Dr. Hotez for a long time. So Dan, would you like to provide some context for this story? Remind us who this dude is and what should we be watching around this debate?
Well, obviously, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a threat to Biden, threat to the establishment. He's going on all the podcasts, all the big shows, and he's pointing out that, you know, so many flaws with Biden, with the Biden administration, what he'd do differently. And one of his big things, of course, is vaccine safety, which is a key issue, of course, over the last few years. And Robert F. Kennedy and his organization, Children's Health Defense, have provided a ton of information on vaccine safety and really become kind of an obsession of the Biden administration, of Big Pharma, to discredit and destroy him. So when he announced, he was called a kook, a conspiracy theorist, an anti-vaxxer by basically all of the mainstream media. And then he went on Rogan's show, which is, of course, far more popular than CNN or MSNBC. And Rogan says, well, let's have a debate between you and Peter Hotez. And Hotez has appeared repeatedly on Rogan's podcast. And Hotez rejects it online and starts this incredible Twitter storm where I would say he really lost. I mean, he was exposed as a fraud, as basically refusing to debate. He just wants to go on friendly shows. The only show he actually went on since this whole thing exploded is MSNBC to talk with Mehdi Hasan. Let's watch this clip.
But in science, we don't typically do debates. What we do is we write scientific papers, we present our findings in front of a critical audience of our peers to solicit their input and suggestions. But one doesn't typically debate science, maybe the one-off discussion of evolution versus creationism and that sort of thing. But that's not what we do in science.
So there, Mehdi Hasan provides the softball interview where he's already agreeing with him all the way through for Peter Hotez, where Peter Hotez says, well, I don't do debates. Scientists don't do debates, as if that is a rule of science. Meanwhile, he's just going on television all the time, whether on MSNBC or CNN or Fox, or BBC, any of these outlets on a near daily basis for the past 3 years. Well, that's not really typically a thing doctors do either, but there's no hard and fast rules. So what Peter Hotez wants is to only go on channels where he will not be challenged. I mean, the only time he's ever been challenged is when he went on Rogan last time in the infamous clip where he was asked about his general eating habits and health habits. Do you exercise? And, you know, do you eat well? And he admitted that he eats horrible and he never exercises. And he was exposed. He was embarrassed. And Rogan said, well, you just want people to inject themselves with chemicals. But I mean, the bigger point is that the problem is not, to me, that Peter Hotez doesn't want to debate. The problem is that Peter Hotez wants to take anyone who questions or dissents from the sort of COVID biosecurity state regime that's been rolled out really throughout the past three years and actually criminalize them, put them in prison. He has made clear in his articles, in his media appearances, he wants the Biden administration, the UN, the World Health Organization, NATO, to combat what he calls anti-science aggression, which is just a term he made up to describe anyone who he doesn't like. And he wants it to be illegal. So he doesn't want to debate RFK or Rogan or Elon Musk or Tucker Carlson, the four people that he listed as, you know, these dangerous minds, he wants to actually criminalize them. He wants to lock them up, apparently.
Yeah.
So it's just an incredibly dangerous proposal. And the fact that he has so much institutional power behind him, whether from the Gates Foundation, the U.S. government, USAID, he's a charlatan, a fraud, and really a dangerous character.
Right. You mentioned that he's received money from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which funds and benefits from vaccines around the world, in addition to the COVID vaccine, more than that. Can you remind us a little bit more about the piece you did? I mean, you warned us about this guy 4 months ago, so we credit you for that. And can you just, so we don't have to seek it back out, remind us more of his compromising financial ties?
Well, if you look at the history of Peter Hotez, going back to his earliest days, the earliest documented history of him in the 1980s, he was paid by Pfizer coming out of school. He not long after got more Pfizer money. Then eventually he got hooked up with the Clinton Global Initiative. And so that connected him to the Gates Foundation, where he's gotten millions and millions of dollars from Bill Gates. You can here, let's show this clip of Bill Gates actually saying that Peter Hotez is a key partner.
One of the foundation's key partners is Professor Peter Hotez, who's doing inspiring work on tropical diseases. And we're very excited about being able to back some breakthroughs there and have a huge impact.
So Peter Hotez gets tapped into Gates Money Foundation, and then that turns into USAID. That turns into USAID money. So the Bush administration, and then the Obama administration with Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, turned something called neglected tropical diseases into a gigantic industrial complex. Neglected tropical diseases, all that means is diseases and maladies that you get from lack of sanitation. So human hookworm is one of them. I mean, there are a number of them, and they result from lack of sanitation, lack of clean water. So this is in impoverished, exploited third world countries that have been pillaged by the US and Europe for centuries, and that's why they're underdeveloped. And meanwhile, the Bill Gates and Peter Hotez, instead of saying, well, okay, let's put our billions of dollars into helping these countries develop their infrastructure, well, instead they want to just say, no, we're just going to try to create basically medical treatments, injections, in order to stop these maladies, but it never actually stops them. It just, at best, it treats them. So it's permanently producing income. So that's what he was doing all through the 1990s, 2000s, into the 2010s. He got involved with Ebola and the Obama administration deploying the US military into Liberia to stop the Ebola crisis, which was not really a crisis at all. It was just portrayed that way. And then onto the COVID era. So throughout his entire career, he has represented the big pharma and the biopharma security complex that was rolled out through COVID, to the point where he cites Russian disinformation and says Putin is, you know, behind all of this anti-vax sentiment, and therefore we have to censor. So you can see he's really not so much a medical professional, he's more of a political operative.
Clearly, because a tweet like this, which he tweeted about this podcast episode, saying that Spotify has stopped even sort of trying to stem vaccine misinformation and it's just awful, but he doesn't want to debate it, that makes it kind of like a drive-by shooting. Like, I'm just gonna, you know, throw some stuff at it so that no one even considers or believes it, and then keep going. And even as, you know, someone who's followed the science around COVID, I found the interview with Joe Rogan between RFK Jr. and Joe Rogan shocking because of the litigation history that RFK Jr. has. So it feels like what all he's trying to do is divert attention away from RFK Jr., and it may have backfired.
I think it backfired pretty spectacularly. If you look, overall, I mean, like you said, a few months ago, I was trying to bring attention to Peter Hotez so people could see who he is and the powerful figures he's tied to. I think we did a pretty decent job here at Redacted, but I mean, I'd say it's a big own goal for Hotez over the weekend, because he did not look like a calm, rational person. He looked aggressive and dismissive against someone like Rogan, who has had him on repeatedly before. You know, Rogan has both sides on. He has establishment figures, he has anti-establishment figures, and everything in between for long form conversations, as long as it needs to go. So he's trusted by millions and millions of Americans. So for Hotez to dismiss that, flush it away, I think millions of people now see Peter Hotez for who he really is, that yeah. didn't before.
Do you think there's, like, if we're going to put a, let's take some odds on it of a debate actually happening, because the pot continues to grow from influencers who are pledging funds. Now it's at about 2.62 million of users on Twitter. So I don't know. I'm going to say 8% chance it happens. What about you?
I'm going to give it a 0% chance. Okay. There is no way Hotez will debate. He cannot handle it. He cannot handle any debate. That's why he only goes on MSNBC to talk with Mehdi Hasan, who's, you know, another shill. He only goes on, if there is Pfizer money in your podcast or your show, he will go there. That's where he'll go, you know. But if there, okay. but if it's an actual open debate, there's no, he cannot handle it. I mean, if anyone watched the report we did for Redacted, that's just like a list of, you could just ask him one question after the next. I mean, someone could ask him, which of course Mehdi Hasan won't do, ask him about how the Indian government approved his Corbevax vaccine by ignoring the concerns of its own top regulatory body and just skipping over the testing process altogether while they got it into the arms of tens of millions of adolescents and children in India. That should be a huge scandal, but it will never be talked about in mainstream media or anywhere that Peter Hotez goes. He's so scandal ridden and so paper thin, he cannot handle any kind of debate. So he just smears and distorts, and that's his only tactic.
All right. So did you watch Game of Thrones? Do you know Game of Thrones?
I did.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you know how Tyrion Lannister asked for the trial by combat and then has somebody else stand in for him?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, against the Mountain. Anyway, yes. Do you think that these people who are pledging money would take anybody else in place of Dr. Hotez? Like, could we have someone else maybe for this, and someone who's trusted pro-vaccine?
I mean, I could do it. I know Hotez's positions pretty well. I mean, okay. I could go be in and Hotez, and I know how to defend them too, because I know his weaknesses, you know. So if anyone wants to do that, I could be the stand-in for Hotez.
Okay, but it doesn't end well for him. He gets his face smashed in by fingers.
That's true. Just like it wouldn't end well for Hotez in a debate or any unfortunate soul who had to stand in and defend his indefensible positions.
Okay. All right. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But this was an interesting turn of events. So thanks for warning us in advance about this and bringing more context to this debate. I really appreciate it, Dan.
Thanks a lot, Natalie. Thank you.
Well, we want to thank Dan for that report. And thank you for joining us today on this Monday. I know it's a holiday in the U.S., so thank you for being here. We will be here all the week. We appreciate you joining us. Remember, you can join our Redacted community by heading over to redacted.inc. You can find out how much it costs to join our Redacted membership. It's about the price of a cup of coffee. You can also subscribe to the newsletter. You can do a lot of fun stuff there. Again, that's redacted.inc. It's where we host of all of our information that you'd like to keep for yourself, plus more. So thank you again for joining. We will see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you then.